Welcome to the Excel Pod.
Welcome back to another edition of Road Trips, Navigating Life with Jesus. We often talk about being generous with our money and resources, but what does it look like to be generous with our time? In this week's episode, Zachary Wall joins me once again to talk about what it means to be generous with our time, how it can lead us to being more countercultural and ultimately more Christ-like. I'm Tyler Wall, and this is Road Trips.
I believe this is your fourth or fifth time coming back on the show, and this season has been just all returning guests, for better or for worse, I like to say. So, in your case...
What I haven't told you is this is my last appearance.
The jury is still out, but it's good to have you back on. We are talking about, I'm calling it time generosity. That may be a new term, but just talking about being generous with your time as we're in this series on how we're spending our time. And so when we think about this concept of being generous with our time, we think about being generous with our money, our possessions, but we may not talk about it so much with our time. So what does that look like, and how would you define being generous with your time? And I would assume this is an intentional thing. So what role does intentionality play in that?
Yeah, I think when you think about being generous with your time, you're really talking about something that is above and beyond your regular duties or your daily schedule. Like if you took the bare minimum of your job, your family, hobbies, chores at home, whatever, we're talking about being generous with our time. I think it exceeds those things, your daily responsibilities. I don't think it's being generous with your time by going to work and doing the job you're supposed to do and being in the office, you know, during the office hours that you're supposed to have. I don't think that's what we're talking about here with being generous with their time. I think it's the time beyond that, devoting extra time or your free time or a time that you could have spent doing something for yourself. You're going to spend it doing something for others, doing things for other people, especially doing things for other people without expecting them to repay you for it. Because I think there's one side of being generous with our time where we can be generous with our time only so that others give us a gift or give us a favor later down the road. So I think being generous with our time, the important thing to note there is that you're doing it without the expectation that something is going to be returned to you. You're doing it out of the goodness of your heart, or because you're trying to model Jesus and the life he lived. You're going to be generous with your time. And I think being intentional is very important, because if you don't manage your own time wisely, how are you going to be generous with any time that you might have? So you have to manage your own time in an appropriate way so that you have time to then be generous with. It's like you gave the example of money. If I don't manage my money well, I can't be generous with money because I won't have any to give. And I think the same is true with your time. I think when you manage your time in a way that is appropriate, that is healthy, then you have time to start to give to others. But often we know that our time gets filled with things that aren't productive, that aren't necessary. Sometimes our time gets filled with interruptions or other people that we didn't expect, and that's fine. I think we should plan on that. But most of the time, when we look back at our week and we feel like, man, that was just such a busy week, I just didn't have time to do any of these things for other people. I didn't have time to be generous toward others. If we look back at our week, I think most of the time we'll recognize moments where we just didn't manage the time that we did have appropriately enough to give that out to others. So defining being generous with your time, I just think it means going above and beyond our daily responsibilities, our daily duties, whether that's as a husband, as a father, or just as a person in a career, in your job, or chores, whatever it might be, above and beyond those regular duties and doing those activities, being generous with your time, not expecting anyone to repay you for what you've done.
Yeah, I like that. Kind of how I would summarize that would probably just be just going overtime with your time. The popular thing now is hustle culture and working overtime and going to sleep at 3 a.m. and waking up at 2 a.m. and just hustling and 70-hour work weeks and that kind of thing. And we're saying that being generous with your time as Christians, that means going a little over time in areas where you don't really have to and where it's not really expected of you. So it is taking that intentional step of saying, I know the time that I have. Maybe it's a free time. Maybe it's a time that I watch my favorite show or whatever. I'm going to choose to spend that time in other places. And then I really like what you said about managing the time that you do have well so that you can set yourself up to be generous with your time. Because so often I've caught myself saying, I don't have time for that. Well, the reality is, as we've said time and time on this season, we do make time for what's most important, and we make time for often what we want to make time for. And so I like that, getting work done, getting projects done, whatever that might be in your time and place in life. It's about being a good steward of that, like you would, like you were saying, your money, and in our case, time. Being a good steward of that, and then recognizing that there may be some extra parts of our day where we could choose to do something that's kind of above and beyond. And so you've got to set that time to do so. So in our lives as Christians, we want to be generous with our time. What are some scriptures to kind of help us out in that area of our lives?
I think there's a few places to turn. One, I believe I didn't write down the exact reference, but it's a psalm. I think it's Psalm 90, verse 12. But you'd have to correct me on that, where it says, teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So numbering our days and just being mindful. I think the idea there is just being mindful that our time on earth, I mean, it's short. Like, you're not going to live here forever. So number our days. I think that's a good perspective to start with. You could go to Ecclesiastes 3, where Solomon writes, you have a time for everything. There's a season for this and that. There's a time to mourn. There's a time to be happy. There's, a time for everything. But I think the most important passages and verses on time, as we talk about being generous with it, are found in Ephesians and in Colossians, both written by Paul, and they're very similar. So Ephesians 5, 15 and 16, it says this, be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Or another translation would say, instead of making the most of every opportunity, it'd be making the best use of your time, because the days are evil. Colossians 4:5 is really the same verse. It says, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. And I think it's interesting that both of these verses, if you notice, I think really every verse that I mentioned there, it has a word attached to it, and it's wisdom. And I think that's important to note, is that the wise person is going to be mindful of how they manage their time and what they do with their time. And the book of Proverbs is filled with all these different sayings of lazy people and what they are like. But Paul says, look, if you manage your time in the correct way, you are someone who is wise. The unwise people, they don't care how they manage their time. They're going to use their time in a way that just benefits themselves. But the wise person is going to be mindful of how they use that time. Because again, the time, as the psalmist says, our time here is numbered. So how are we using that time to make disciples? How are we using that time toward outsiders, as he says there in Colossians chapter 4? I think those are super important passages because they teach us that we need to, this is something that we should be mindful of. We should be working in our life to find ways to be generous with the time that we do have. It shouldn't be shoved aside and just an afterthought. Like, okay, I'm bored today. I have an hour of free time. Let me be generous. I think these scriptures teach us to try to schedule times to be generous into your daily schedule. Like, schedule a block. Okay, this 1 hour a day I'm going to set aside so that I can be generous with other people instead of just giving others, well, leftovers that we may or may not ever have.
Yeah, almost making generosity and being generous with our time, almost making it a spiritual discipline of sorts, being intentional about it and setting aside the time in order to do that instead of just like if I get around to it, I may do that. That's not the kind of attitude that we need to bring to our lives, especially as followers of Jesus. We need to live as people with purpose, and that's not an unintentional life. And my mind went to the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. You know, we're talking about setting aside this time and being intentional with it. But I also think with being generous with our time, there's also this importance of spontaneity, right? And just recognizing if something needs to be done, if there's a need, if there's a person that needs to be helped or served in any way, then we need to take advantage of that opportunity. We often see Jesus in his ministry, most notably in Mark chapter 5, he's interrupted a bunch of times. And we need to live lives also that are interruptible. And I'm preaching to myself more than anyone because I don't like to be interrupted. I've got a schedule. I've got to get done what I need to. And, I don't think I'm alone in that. And so are we living lives of intention, like we're talking about, that allow space for interruptions to see the needs of others? And also, are we living lives that do set aside that time to be generous, to help others, to serve them? So I like all those verses that you mentioned, being wise with our time and walking. I think when we think about the difference between wise and foolish with our time, foolish would be just kind of this lackadaisical approach of just kind of saying, whatever happens, I'll just go where the wind takes me. And I think wisdom says, no, I'm living with purpose. And I'm going to walk in that purpose. And I'm going to try to model my life after Jesus, like we're talking about. Kind of leading into that, how can we use being generous with our time generosity, to be countercultural in our world today?
I think this world, as we know, it's all about ourselves. It's all about the I. It's all about the me. What's going to make me look good? What's going to elevate me? What's going to get me the most attention? So when we are generous with our time, we're talking about devoting time that you could be spending on yourself, you know, whether it's a hobby, whether it's just entertainment, whatever it is, and using that time to lift someone else. So right there, I mean, that's already very countercultural. Instead of using time that I might have to take care of myself in some way, or like I said, just entertain or do something else, we are intentionally using time to lift someone else, to be generous towards someone else. We're giving them that time that most in this world would have used for oneself. So I think it's anytime we take a break from our daily routine, or we allow ourselves to be interrupted, like you said, that automatically is countercultural, because most people aren't going to ever do that, because we fill our schedules so full that we feel like if we get interrupted, if we get knocked off a track once, then our whole week is messed up. And I get that on the one hand, because I'm a person where if I could schedule every day for the rest of my life right now, I would. Like, I would love to know where I'm going to be, what I'm going to be doing, who I'm doing it with. That's what I like to do. Like, I want to be very, very scheduled. But that leaves no room to be generous with others. And that leaves no room to be countercultural, because I'm only focused on myself. So anytime that you can use to bless others by being generous with it, you are being countercultural. I don't think it takes a lot of thinking to understand that our world is not this way. And anytime, there's so many aspects of the Christian faith where if we truly live like Jesus asked us to live, we're going to stand out. We're going to look different from the world. But there may not be much of a bigger one than this, honestly, because the world is picking up speed at a rapid pace, and it leaves very little time for the concern of others. But Christians are called to do something else. They're called to slow down, to make the best use of their time, and they'll be very countercultural and easy to notice when we truly put this into practice.
Yeah, I think what you were mentioning there at the end of slowing down, and you know the personal journey that I'm on of trying to slow down, but that is one way that we can kind of jump into the end, but that is one way we can actually put this into practice in a very hurried, busy, distracted world that has its eyes in completely different directions. One of the ways we can be counterculture, one way we can go against the grain, if you will, is by slowing down and not allowing our pace of life to be that of the world's, and creating that space for us to do so. I've always loved the verse, Luke 5:16. It just says, "But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." It's a simple verse, but Luke says that he often did that. This was a part of Jesus's daily routine, probably spending time with the Father. And I say that to say, like you were saying, when there is that free moment, or when we think about our schedules in general, a lot of it is self-focused. And then if we do have that time, or if we do schedule that time, it's like, oh, I need me time, or I need a me day. I need a vacation, or whatever that might be. And those things aren't bad things, but this was Jesus's quote unquote me time. It was time with his Father. And how often do we have the time and we say, I need to do something for myself. And so I really like that, kind of going against the grain, being countercultural. And one way we do that, I think probably the best way, is to live lives that are non-hurried, looking to the needs of others, and ultimately spending time and being with God. So I like that. So one of the things I admire about you is that you have two kids, and yet you still make time for ministry, family, and other things in your life. So in your own life, how do you approach being generous with your time?
I appreciate that. I don't feel as if I've always done a good job of that. And I feel like there's still plenty of room for improvement, no doubt. I think it's tricky, but as a minister and someone who regularly teaches others, I want to lead by example. So I'm not going to teach. I can't teach something and then not live it out in my life. So if I'm going to teach on compassion, or like you mentioned earlier, the Good Samaritan, or Matthew 22, the greatest commands, like if I'm going to teach on those things and never use my time to help anyone but myself, then it would have been better to not teach on those things. So I really try to, I really want to lead by example. I think it's super important for me to demonstrate, especially to teenagers, the person that I'm trying to get them to become. So on trips that we go on over the summer, like when my time is interrupted, when something doesn't go as planned, when other people or when other projects take up more time than I had allotted for them to take, I want to be mindful of how my actions, how my behavior is going to be perceived by the students who I am trying to minister. So I try to really be intentional about that. And then regarding, you mentioned family and being generous with your time there. I think it's really important to just really wherever you are, try to give 100% to that. So when I'm at work, if I don't give 100% at work, then I'm going to be wanting to do something at home at night because I didn't do a good job using my time when I was at work. And I don't have time, or I'm not being generous with others because, again, the time management wasn't there. And it's not fair to my family, and it's not fair to anyone else. But I think when I'm with my family, I really want to be 100% with them. When I'm with others, you know, I want to be 100% with them. Like I said, it's difficult because especially, and we'll talk about this more, I think, in the next question or two, but there's always some work I could be doing. Like there's always something. There's always some project. There's always some lesson. There's always some event I could be prepping for. But there's sometimes you just need a break. And sometimes being generous with your time is as simple as saying, you know, just stop, give it a break, come back tomorrow, whatever it is. And that helps. The example you used of Jesus, he did that all throughout his ministry. Just taking breaks, making sure he had that time just between he and God, which was so important for him and his ministry. So hopefully that answers it a little bit. Again, I don't feel as if I do a great job. I wish I was better about being generous with my time, specifically like my time for people beyond my, you know, my daily circle, beyond my family, beyond my coworkers, beyond my youth group. I wish I had more time or devoted more time to, you know, to interruptions or to physical neighbors or to random people that you meet at Walmart or something. That's where I'd love to improve on a lot, and just being able to be generous with that group of people.
Yeah, that's really good. And I said that there at the beginning, and then I remembered all those VBS moments that we had. And then, you know, I felt like I needed to take that back, but I'm just kidding. But that is really good. And, you know, just kind of piece by piece what you said there, thinking about what Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. I remember first reading that and thinking, that's kind of arrogant of Paul to say that, like, you're not Jesus. And he's not saying that he's Jesus. He's saying, if you do want to see just a slice of what Jesus is like, then you can look at my life and you can find Jesus living in me. And that's a really good, I think for us, that can be almost a reflective question. Can we truly say that about our lives? And I think for us as ministers, I think for anyone who's a minister, they would definitely attest to this, that is something that you have to think about when you're teaching others, when you're preaching, to others. You can't really speak on compassion and not using angry words, and then you go to Chili's after Sunday morning worship and you're rude to the waitress. You just can't. Those two things shouldn't really exist. And then thinking about what we do and working hard in it and giving 100% to each area of our lives. And sometimes, like you were saying, in order to give 100% in one area, you have to dial it back in another one. So leaving work at work when you're with your family, I like that. It reminds me of Colossians 3:23. It says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord, not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. So yeah, just doing good work in all areas of your life and making sure that you're creating that space, like you were talking about there at the beginning, creating that space so that when you're in one area of your life, you're giving it 100%, you're leaving it there, and then you're able to go to your family, you're able to be kind or strike up a conversation with the cashier or whoever, or just look them in the eye or whatever that might be. And it's all, I'm not saying this to compartmentalize your life. It's all under that umbrella of our lives as Christians and being the best follower and disciple of Jesus we can be. So I like that. And leading into that, people listening to this might think, well, I don't want to just be so generous with my time that I get burnt out. And I think that that's a real concern. So how do we have that medium or thread that needle between, yes, being generous with our time, but also finding time to rest, not overworking, not being burnt out, and not being just so stressed all the time?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I don't want to step on any toes here, but I'll say this. Ministers have a very difficult time saying no, and that many ministers are always on the job. Always, no matter what, they're always on the job. And I know I've even heard some ministers who, when they go to vacation, they'll tell everyone, hey, I'm just a phone call away. Like, that shouldn't be a thing. Like, you're on your vacation with your family. That's where you should be. So I had a great example, someone else who was a youth minister for many years now. He said, look, when I started to go on vacations, I didn't even bring my phone with me. Like, I left it at home, which, you know, nowadays people are like, oh, no way. How could I even do a trip without it? But he did that so that he could be fully present with his family, because if not, he was going to be working. He was going to be on the job. So ministers who greatly struggle with that. You're working for the Lord. Okay, that's great. But if you're neglecting your family, like, what? That's terrible. That's not what God wants you to do. God doesn't want you to have every single word of your sermon memorized, but never spend any time at home. Like, I guarantee he'd rather you read every word and spend time with your family. So I think ministers especially have to be very, very, very careful about not saying yes to everything that gets asked of you. Don't be afraid to say no. And I think to your list there, so you said, kind of how do you thread the needle between being generous with your time and avoiding burnout, avoiding stress, avoiding overworking? I think I would add to that list also avoiding not getting your responsibilities done as well. Because I think often what happens is, if we're truly wanting to be generous with our time, if we never say no to everything, if we always are the yes person, then what happens is we're not going to get our own things done. Like, our very job, like, we're not going to get our responsibilities done because we have given too much time to others. And I think that's a very real thing that we have to be mindful of. So to keep a healthy balance between everything, I think it really involves learning how to say that two-letter word, no. Like, it's okay to say no. You don't have to, just because there is someone or something that that could use your assistance or you could help, it's okay to not do that. Which clearly from Jesus's example, there's times like the crowd, the town would want him to be there healing the people, but Jesus would withdraw because he needed that. And he didn't want to be burned out. And I think the same is true for us as well. There are times where we just got to remove ourselves, have time to rest, to gain our strength, our energy back, to spend time with family, or to spend time doing our personal things that we have shoved aside and they keep piling up. We need to be able to get those things done and help others at the same time, ideally. I don't think it does us any good to be generous with our time at the expense of our own responsibilities or our own family or our own bodies or our own mental well-being. That's another aspect we don't really talk about, and you mentioned it there, the stress of it. As a minister, as someone that always wants to help other people, if you always try to help other people, just the anxiety, the stress that weighs on you from accepting all of those things or people needing help or needing someone to talk to, that can weigh you down. Paul says it in 2 Corinthians, I forget the chapter, maybe 9 or 10, where he talks about, okay, I've been shipwrecked, I've done all these things. And at the end of that entire passage where he tells about his hardships, he says, and on top of this, I face the daily pressure of my concern for all the churches. So on everything physical that was going on in his life and had taken place in his life, something added on to that was the anxiety that he felt for all the churches that he loved, he cared for, he ministered to. And I think there's a real concern that it's not just physical, it could be our mental health as well. And we got to be super careful to not give too much to others that we lose ourselves. And we lose our family, especially.
Yeah, you can't pour from an empty cup. And I think that that is true, especially as we're talking about with ministers. And I think that that goes for so many different professions. Christian teachers truly pour a lot of themselves into their work. Doctors, nurses, anyone that's providing a service or performing a work for anyone else, you do run that risk, and so that is true. And I think that is an important note. And we talked about this a couple podcasts ago on contentment, but rest, and I've been thinking about it ever since. But rest can really, as a Christian, can almost make you feel a little guilty because you're like, am I being selfish? I'm not serving anyone. I'm not being generous with my time. I'm kind of being selfish with my time, or am I, should I be resting? I think we have a great example in God resting on the seventh day. We see Jesus taking naps. And so that's important for us to think about. That's important for us to realize there's a place for, and I think a much bigger place than maybe we give it credit for. There is a place for rest and recharge and going away, not just for our own personal sakes, but as you're saying, and I haven't experienced this yet, but as you're saying, for the sake of your family. I've always heard that your marriage and you know, your family as well is your first ministry. And so that should be a higher priority. And so, yeah, all of those points are really good. And just not working so hard, not burning out so hard not getting our own things done so that we become people who are just constantly spread thin, constantly stressed, constantly anxious. Because, you know, we don't realize this, and I've had to confront this in my own life. The constantly stressed, burnt out, anxious life, that's not the life of Jesus. That's not the Christian life. And we almost applaud that in a way. Workaholics get a raise, alcoholics go to rehab. And that is true, just in our culture, that we celebrate overworking and we celebrate being burnt out almost. And so, yeah, it certainly does have a place. So those are some really good points there. So last question, just kind of as we close, what are just some general steps we can take to become more generous with our time?
I think we got to go back to kind of where we started with, but I think it starts with managing your own time better. Be more mindful about how you spend your time. Be careful about it. And I'll go back to what you just said. Like, you don't have a family. Now that I have a family, it's different. Like, before I had a family and it was just me and my wife, like, spending an hour working on a project at night was not a big deal. In fact, there was many times where we'd be at home and we'd both be working on something for the youth ministry and we'd be working on it together. Well, now I get 1 to 2 hours each day alone with my wife. That's it. So now to say, okay, yeah, no, you know what? I got an hour to do this. I need an hour's worth of work. Then I got no time with her. And that's not fair. It happens sometimes, because sometimes things come up, but it shouldn't be the norm. That's for sure. So manage your own time better. Another thing that we touched on earlier, leave room to be interrupted. That's very important. You're very rarely will each day go exactly as you thought it would. Something's going to happen, whether to yourself or to someone else, that requires your time to be shifted. Another thing, to be more generous with our time, I think maybe it'd be helpful to put yourself in others' shoes. And if you put yourself in other person's shoes, and you could think, you know, would I benefit from help? Would I benefit from someone coming and talking to me and doing something? That I think that just shifts the focus away from thinking about how we could spend time on ourselves and maybe thinks about, gets us to think about what it must be like for that other person who you're considering spending time with or being generous with your time. Another step, don't be afraid to delegate. It's no secret if you're working on a project alone, it'll take, you know, whatever, X amount of time. You add one person, you can half that time. If you add two people, you could make that time a third of what it originally would have taken. So don't be afraid to delegate. And that's a great way to be more generous with your time because you'll have more time to spend. Like we just said on the last question, don't be afraid to say no. And then I made a note, even if it's something you really want to do. Like if you don't have the time for it, you don't have the time for it. Don't try to squeeze it into your already busy schedule. If you don't have the time for it, be bold enough to just say no, even if it's something you really wanted to do. So for you and I, that might be, you know, oh, wow, someone asked me to speak at this conference or whatever, and it's really cool, but it's in your busiest month, and you would have to fit it in between all these things, and it would add just so much stress to get the lessons done, whatever. Don't be afraid to say no. Another thing, and most of these we've touched on, it's kind of a summary question, but don't neglect your relationship with God or with your family for the sake of being generous with your time. You got to be generous with God. You got to be generous with your family. You got to be generous with yourself, generous with your job. All these, you really have to be generous in every aspect of your life. And then if you can, schedule generosity into your life. Schedule generosity into your life. Try to leave some time where either maybe it's for interruptions or maybe it's for other people specifically, but allow some time in your daily or weekly schedule where you don't have anything on the calendar. You just have it open and we'll just see where it goes from there. If you have the time that you could give to others, great. If you don't at the end of the week because something else came up, so be it. But you had that time set aside to use that wouldn't have been there if you tried to fill every minute of your schedule. So those are just, like I said, most of that is a summary of what we've already touched on. But perhaps that's helpful in some easy steps to get us started.
Yeah, those are all really good things. And like you said, that was pretty much a summary of just what we've talked about. So no need for me to yap and elaborate any longer because you brought up all the good points. So Zachary, thanks for coming on, and we'll see you soon.
Sounds good. Thank you for having me.